Welcome to the Panic Podcast for a Friday. Well, it's morning when I'm recording it and uploading it. I don't know when you're listening to it, or even if you're listening to it on Friday. I have no idea. But I'm sure glad you're listening to us whenever and wherever you are. Welcome here to the Panic Podcast. It's Friday, and Fridays this winter we are studying the Holy Spirit, with an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to get started by going back to a familiar group of verses in 1 Corinthians. So we'll get started in just a second. Good to have you along with us for the ride. Yep, that's that happy trumpeter that we all like so much. Well, it's good to have you with us. As I say, it is a dreary, gray, drizzly, just a miserable day here. But it's warm in my professional podcaster's studio, and I hope it's nice wherever you are. Wherever you are, if the Lord is there, and he is, then it's nice. Okay, where in the world are we? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we're going to begin. And just as to give you all a heads up, I was notified this morning that the fascists over at Facebook have given me or given us a 7-day suspension for one of our 3 Minutes with Mike videos from back in the summertime, where I quoted a Bible verse that one of the pimply-faced fact-checkers apparently took issue with. So I don't know about you, but I'm always on the verge of uninstalling Facebook from my devices. I keep it there because, you know, at the moment it's a handy way to get a hold of people, but there's fewer and fewer reasons for keeping Facebook. So if you are somebody who watches the 3 Minutes with Mike videos on Facebook, I want to encourage you to find another way to watch those things. You can watch them on the website. See, they won't even let me put my website on Facebook because apparently it's been flagged. Too many offensive posts about God or something, who knows. So you can always go to witsend.me, and that's obviously where you can get all of our media. But I want to suggest that you download the free Telegram app. Takes about a minute to set up your account, uses your phone number. I mean, it's a super great app. As near as I can tell, anybody that's on Facebook, I mean, is over on Telegram. You know, it's a big free speech app, and 3 Minutes with Mike is over there, as are the podcasts. And I'm really, to be honest with you, I'm trying to build our channel over on Telegram. And so I want to encourage you, if you're still clinging to Facebook, you might want to consider, you know, getting Telegram, at least to get our media channel. It's 3 Minutes with Mike, so you can find us pretty easily there. The link is somewhere. You can find the link anywhere on my website here. Okay, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, if you can recall back to last Friday, we talked about a particular problem in the Corinthian church. I don't know that it's a problem many of our modern churches have, but the good people in the Corinthian church were very excited about their faith, and they were very excited about the gifts of the Spirit. They were very verbose. They were very demonstrative worshipers. And part of that was due to the fact that they came out of, you know, their pagan religions, right? And that's the point of verse 2. You know, when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And so, you know, Paul's talking to people who once were pagans. They are now Christians, but they still have this. They're still very expressive in their worship, and they're still very much. They brought some of their habits from the pagan temple, Christianized them, brought them into the Christian church. Now, not all those habits were bad things, and one of them was that these pagans were very open to the moving of the Spirit. Now, in the pagan temple, they would have been open to the moving of evil spirits. They would have been involved in drug use and different ways to connect with the spirit world that would have resulted in kind of weird manifestations, like almost uncontrolled movements and dancing and ecstatic utterances and so on. Well, they brought that familiarity with all things spiritual into the Christian church. And so they were very much open to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And some of these pagans were genuine, former pagans, were genuinely manifesting the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But not all of them were. And so there was almost a caste system in the church where you had the spiritual superstars who, because of their past experiences in paganism and their temperaments and so on, and plus they're just open to the moving of the Spirit, they were manifesting some flashy gifts like speaking in tongues and prophetic utterances and so on. There were other members of the church, maybe they weren't like that. They were very quiet in their worship. They didn't get into all this dancing and stuff, you know. So, and that's why Paul wrote, he said, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you were somebody in the Corinthian church who was busy manifesting these flashy gifts of the Spirit, but Jesus really was your Lord, and your life measured up to your confession that Jesus is Lord, then that's the Holy Spirit working in you. But at the same time, if you were somebody who was not particularly verbose in your worship of God, you were on the quiet side, but your life still manifested, the goodness of the Lord, and you're the quality of your life measured your confession that Jesus is Lord, then the Holy Spirit was also working in you. Do you understand what Paul's getting at here? So to those who are really flashy manifesting the gifts, assuming that the quality of their spiritual lives measured up to their confession of faith, then the Holy Spirit was working in them. And to the more quiet members, the reserved members, as long as the quality of their lives was measuring up to their confession of faith, then the Holy Spirit was also working in them. Paul's point is that the Holy Spirit works in all believers, but not always the same way. But for sure, nobody can say Jesus is Lord. Nobody can have a changed life and a transformed heart unless the Spirit of God is working in them. And that's the point of verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, that is to say, working for the kingdom of God. There are different kinds of working for the Lord, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So, you know, we could say that today, for example, not everybody is called to be a pastor. And you shouldn't be one if you don't have that calling and that gift. Not everybody's called to be a Bible teacher. Not everybody has that calling and that gift. Maybe your gift is something else, right? Maybe you have the gift of generosity. You're able to give to the church like nobody. I'm not saying that you're wealthy. That's not what I mean. But you have no problem. When there's a need in the church, you have no problem writing that check. You don't think twice about it. That's the same Holy Spirit that gifted me with the ability to preach and teach the Bible. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality. Maybe you never met a stranger. Maybe you're somebody who, when somebody comes to church, you're all over them like white on rice, making them feel welcome and part of the family in the church. Not everybody's got that gift. I don't have that gift. I don't have it. My sister does. I don't have it. But it's the same Holy Spirit. He works different ways in different people. And that's Paul's point here, and that's what we're going to be talking about on today's Panic Podcast. Elon Foster tells a story about St. Augustine and how a certain heathen showed up at St. Augustine's house one day and showed him his idols and said, "Here's my God, where is thine?" And then pointing up at the sun, he said, "Lo, here's my God, where is thine?" So showing him diverse creatures still upbraided him with, "Here are my gods, where is thine?" But St. Augustine turned to him and said, "I showed him not my God, not because I have not one to show him, but because he had not eyes to see him." The Holy Spirit has many wonderful gifts for believers, but many don't recognize them because of spiritual blindness, right? Now, we've got 12 gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, but there are several other lists in the New Testament, which we'll get to in due course, that are also gifts of the Spirit. Well, let's consider, first of all, the gifts. Let's look at the word gifts, all right? We're talking about spiritual gifts. Paul said in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed." Another way to translate that would be about the things of the Spirit. I don't want you to be uninformed, okay? Now, we're talking about spiritual gifts here. We're also talking about the charismata, or the charisma, the grace. That's what that word means in the Greek. Charis means grace. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are, in fact, gifts of grace. That is to say, no one deserves the gifts of the Spirit. They are given by the Holy Spirit to individuals as he sees fit, not because someone is particularly deserving. There's no merit or or you don't deserve a particular gift. The gifts of the Spirit cannot be purchased, nor can they be earned. They come from the sovereign Holy Spirit. Now, it's from the word charisma that we get the word charismatic, right? And that word charisma, charis, grace, has a wide range of uses in the New Testament. For example, it ranges from the gift of salvation in Romans 6:23 to the gift of providential care in 1 Corinthians 2:11. It's usually reserved for special abilities given to man by God. Therefore, a spiritual gift may be defined as a God-given ability for service. So now we're talking about Christians here, because non-believers cannot manifest the gifts of the Spirit because they're not in a non-believer. Okay? They just aren't. And the gifts of the Spirit are just that. They are gifts of the Spirit. So when you become born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. He has gifts with him, and he will give you certain gifts that he wants you to have. They're not in you normally. They're not your normal talents or abilities. You can't learn the spiritual gifts from a book. You know, you may be able to go to a Bible college and take a couple of courses on homiletics and sermon preparation, but that doesn't mean that you're a preacher. You have the gift of preaching, or that you are the gift of being a pastor. That doesn't mean that at all. Okay. Now, the gifts are to be distinguished, as I say, from other words that relate to the Holy Spirit. For example, we often talk about the gift of the Spirit. Well, the gift of the Spirit and the gifts, plural, of the Spirit are not the same thing. All believers, all Christians, have the gift of the Spirit. Acts 2:38 tells us that all Christians are full of the Holy Spirit. However, the gifts of the Spirit are special abilities bestowed upon those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit according to his will, or we could say according to the will of God. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, as I said a few moments ago, are to be distinguished from talents. Talents have to do with like techniques and methods that are in a person. Gifts have to do with a spiritual ability. Talents depend on natural power and abilities. Gifts depend on spiritual power. Talents instruct or inspire on a natural level, but spiritual gifts relate to the building up of the saints at the spiritual level. The gifts are also to be distinguished from offices, like offices in the church. So a person can have a gift of belonging to an office without holding that position. For example, there may be somebody in your church, excuse me, who is, let's say that they're a, let's say that they sell insurance. They're an insurance broker in town. But man, when he teaches the Sunday school class, I've never seen anything like it. Okay? So that person, he may be a life insurance agent, but he may also possess the gift of teaching. He's able to teach the Bible like nobody's business. He's not a teacher in the church. The church doesn't employ him. He's not a pastor teacher. But he is able, because of the gifting of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit in terms of teaching, he's able to pick up a Bible and start teaching. Okay, there are all kinds of people in the church like this. They do other things to earn a living, but they work their spiritual gifts within the context of the church. That's the purpose of the spiritual gift, you see. They're designed to be exercised in the church for the betterment of the members of that church. So whether or not – it doesn't matter whether a person sells insurance or whether they're a school teacher or whether they're a funeral director or whether he's a foreman at a steel plant. That person, if he's a Christian, is in possession of at least one of, and probably more gifts. And someone like that ought to be encouraged to exercise their gifts in the local church. See, that's how the spiritual gifts work. So as I say, a person can have a gift belonging to a particular office without holding that position, right? And the gifts are also to be distinguished from ministers. Gifts remain the same, but ministers vary from place to place, from time to time. Like at the moment, I'm the pastor of the church here in Norton, Virginia. Eventually, my tenure here is going to come to an end, and I'll move on to another church. But there are all kinds of people in this church with spiritual gifts, and they'll always be here. The spiritual gifts in a local congregation are the constant in that church. And that's why it is so important that the pastor recognize the individuals and their gifts within the church and put them to work. Because he's going to go someday. I'm not going to be here forever. I know it feels like forever for some people, but eventually I'm going to get called to another church, and I will pack up and take my gifts to another congregation. But the people here, they're going to remain. They're going to stay, and they'll continue to exercise their spiritual gifts. And it's going to be up to the next pastor that comes in to recognize the gifts that are at work in this particular church. It's a beautiful thing the way that the church is designed, right? And the gifts of the Spirit should also be distinguished from the fruit of the Spirit. See, gifts deal with service, whereas the fruit of the Spirit with character, right? Gifts are a means to an end, whereas fruit is the end. In other words, every Christian ought to be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, i.e. love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. All right? You ought to be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit all the time. But the gifts of the Spirit are for a purpose. So if the Lord has blessed you with the gift of teaching, then you ought to be teaching in your local church because somebody needs to learn what it is you're teaching. You're there to build up a person or persons in that church with your spiritual gift, you see. Gifts are what a man has, whereas the fruit of the Spirit is what he is. So you, Mr. Christian, should be manifesting every single fruit of the Spirit, every one of them. But you're not necessarily going to manifest every gift of the Spirit. In your whole life, brother, you may only ever manifest one. That's God's determination, not yours. Gifts are from without. They come from the Holy Spirit. Fruit is from within. It's how you behave. It's how you live your life, you see. All gifts are not for all believers, but all believers have a gift. Got it? And the gifts of the Spirit will cease eventually. The Bible teaches that. Because when we're in heaven, we're not going to need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, right now on earth. But the fruit will never cease because, you know, for example, love is a fruit of the Spirit and love never ends. The gifts are also to be distinguished from goodness. Let's put it that way, goodness. It's better to be good than to be gifted. It's better to be a good person than a gifted person. Love is the theme of the chapter that stands in the middle of the discussion of the gifts. Yep. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. It's all about how you manifest the gifts of the Spirit. It drives me crazy when that chapter is read at weddings because it's got nothing whatsoever to do with weddings. It has to do with how you're manifesting your particular gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit. They need to be manifested in love, right? Not in pride or anything else, but in love. And secondly, consider that the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. Again, let's look at verse 7 here, 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, here's the purpose, for the common good. In other words, for the good of everybody in the church. The purpose of gifts is to bring together the body of Christ. It's to pull believers together. The gifts of the Spirit are designed to be helpful in a church, useful in a local congregation. And it's a continuous action. It's for the good of the whole church. The church is to be built up by the use of the gifts. Take a quick look at Ephesians. Where do I want to go here? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's writing about how the risen Christ has given gifts to the body of Christ. Look at verse 7, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And if you just go down to verse 11, these are some of the gifts that the risen Christ has given to the body of Christ. He gave the apostles. Now, these are offices in the church. Some exist today, others don't. But they're gifts also. They're people, but they're also gifts. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Now, those are gifts. You may not have thought of it this way before, but your pastor is a gift from God. Why do you have a pastor and a teacher in your church? Answer verse 12, to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So all the spiritual gifts. Now, the few that Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, those are people, but they're also gifts. Okay, and it's not a complete list. It's a partial list. Just like it in 1 Corinthians 12, he lists some, but certainly not all, the gifts of the Spirit. But they're all given for the same purpose, to equip Christians for works of service. You go to church, my friend, so that you can be equipped to work for God, so that you can go out there and do good works for the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ may be built up, so on and so forth. So that's the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, right? Every single one of them. The church is built up by the use of the gifts. And the word gifts is also plural because there are many gifts. Each and every single gift of the Holy Spirit is of vital importance. And Paul used the body to illustrate each part of the human body is important, and each gift of the Spirit is important. Each person using the gift or gifts he has been given supplements and complements the gifts given to his fellow believers. All together, they build up the body of Christ. They're useful. So every single child of God has the gift of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within all believers. Each child of God has some gift, one or more. All these gifts are to be used for the honor and the glory of God and to build up that local congregation. And I think that we should probably call it quits here for today. I notice we're 30 minutes past the hour. Okay, that's it for today. That's it for today. Now, we're going to pick up this line of thought next week, and we'll continue our study on Friday of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, all right? Don't forget to come back on Monday as we're going to be looking at our great salvation. And I think we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit and our great salvation on Monday. Wednesday, we're back in the Gospel of Luke. And as I say, next Friday, 1 week from today, we're going to be back looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, we've got the video sermon coming your way Sunday. It's going to be uploaded on the website, witsend.me. Also Telegram, not Facebook, because of our ban. Somebody didn't like a Bible verse that I quoted back in the summer. So it's entirely possible that this is the straw that broke the camel's back, and we're just going to close up all of our Facebook accounts and be done with those people over there. But if you have not downloaded the Telegram app, I want to encourage you, get the Telegram app and use it to watch the three-minute devotionals, the video sermons, and listen to the Panic podcast, all right? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have made. We are glad that you are a part of our day and a part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And I pray for all of those listening today who are maybe unsure of what their gift is or gifts are. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to them exactly what gifts of the Spirit they may possess. Give us all, Lord, the discernment, the courage to exercise our various gifts at the right time to bless as many people as possible within the church and to glorify you. Lord, we love you with everything in us today. Help us to manifest that love for you by loving others. Keep us all safe and sound till we can meet together again, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, gang, that's it for today. God bless you all. We will see you back here on Sunday, and if not on Sunday, then Monday for sure. God bless. Have a great rest of the day and an awesome weekend.